Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is a big weekend for 31-year-old Kyle Gathers. He'll be graduating from the Benjamin Franklin Institute of Technology in Boston, and he'll be among those addressing his class. So that's a pretty big deal for anyone. But here's what makes it especially remarkable for Kyle Gathers. He'll be doing this just 1 year after leaving prison. In all, he spent 10 years in prison, including 2 years in solitary confinement for extortion and witness intimidation before he was released last June. While in solitary, Kyle began writing poetry and hopes to publish his book of poems, which he calls Feelings They Couldn't Lock Away. And Kyle Gathers joins us now. Kyle, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And congratulations on your graduation. How does that feel?
I'm still juggling with the feeling now. I guess I'm kind of numb to it. It's a big surprise. It's a great honor. And I'm just happy to be here and be able to get up there in front of all my fellow students.
All your fellow students. And tell us what you've been studying and what you're going to be doing. What's the degree that you got and what's it going to allow you to do?
Well, it was HVAC, so heat and ventilation and air conditioning. That's what I was studying, and it gives me a better chance out in the job force where there's a lot of buildings being built, and Boston's evolving a lot, so it gives me a hands-on skill where it's going to make me self-sufficient, whereas I don't have to really go out there and look for a job because I can actually work for myself. So that there gave me a little more ability to do what I want to do for myself if I have to go in business for myself in the future.
Right, and that's important. Kyle, tell me how you ended up in prison in the first place. I mean, we mentioned extortion and witness intimidation. If you don't mind, give us just the sort of quick thumbnail sketch about what landed you there.
What landed me there is the environment I grew up in. It was always centered around everything negative. All the role models that I had growing up were good role models in their own right, but they was engaged in negative activity. So early on, my biggest challenge was financial security. So at that time, I felt as though anything to be able to get a financial gain up was okay. And I had to wrestle with that idea, and I thought it was okay. And so that led to me selling drugs and being in the drug world. A lot of other negative things come behind that. So you make one choice to say, I need money. Then you go into another choice to say, I'm going to sell drugs to make it. And you don't know that when you do so, you run into so many other dark alleys that come in that.
Yeah.
So I ended up looking out for a friend of mine's and giving him some drugs. And he felt as though he didn't want to pay me back. And I felt as though it was okay for me to take matters in my own hands and go back and inconvenience them by taking things that would have added up to my value on the drugs. And it was silly. It was foolish. And it landed me in prison.
All right. Now, we mentioned 10 years in jail and 2 years in solitary confinement. How does that come about? How did you end up in solitary?
Well, being in there, you still have to be a certain type of an individual in order to get through there.
Yeah.
Being that I went in with some sort of a reputation, being in there, I had to own up to that reputation and still be that in order to get out of there. Although inside, I knew that that didn't define my character or personality, but it was something that I had to do in order to keep up this image to get through. And in doing that, you run into many people inside who, for whatever reasons, they have bad days, and you get into arguments, and that's what had happened. And I had a lot of friends with me in there, and we ended up getting into a big, melee or brawl inside there. One individual had got severely hurt, and it was said that I had organized the whole altercation, so therefore the penalty for me was a little harsh than others, and they sent me to the Department of Detention Unit, which is a separate prison within itself for solitary confinement.
Mm. And what does that mean, solitary? I mean, what does it actually mean? Can you describe what it was like for 2 years?
Well, quiet. You're in a cell by yourself. You come out 1 hour a day. You come out 1 hour a day inside of a little cage that you can just walk back and forth in. You get 3 showers a week. You get 4 phone calls a month after being there 4 months. So you can just imagine that all of the relationships that I had wavered. Everyone went their own way. So I was just left in there, and I had to do that for 2 years.
Jeez. So Kyle, what happened in there? I mean, what kind of thinking did you do? I mean, I guess the question I want to ask is, how did you pull through? Because I think a lot of people being locked up in a cell for 23 hours a day for 2 years might not have fared so well.
Well, it, of course, a lot of questions go through your head. This is designed to break me. Who am I? What do I really want for myself in life? If I get back to population, what am I going to not do in the future to not ever get here? What can I do that I'm here, and how can I think about myself while I'm here to benefit me when I am released out of here? And that was just out of solitary confinement. So in order to get through that, being in that cell for just 23 hours to yourself, really no other social interaction, because everyone else is either trying to sleep their time away or they just don't want to be bothered because they're that mad, I started to write all my feelings down. I didn't have enough phone conversations or phone time to share it, so I wrote it down. I sat there, I thought about everything in my life, all the love that I had for others, love that I had for myself, how did I view my surroundings, what actually made me happy while I was there, because a lot of the times, just thinking about my happy times helped me get through. I had to forget where I was at. And through reading and writing, it made me forget where I was actually at, and it helped me cope.
Now, I understand you started writing poetry in there, right?
Right.
Yeah. Do you want to read one? You brought one in for us to hear. Tell us what it is.
This one's called Resilient. This one is basically, every day when someone sees me, they may not know the pains that I'm going through. Or how I feel that day. They may just look at the exterior and believe that everything's fine, but still I'm juggling with my own demons inside to help me actually exude a better exterior and to keep strong, because I don't know who's watching me and where their strength comes from. This one's called Resilient. I keep my head high, yet my spirits are low. New troubles to deal with on a daily, with no time to mourn, so it never will show. I smile even though I hate that I'm here. I refuse to blink first when I stare at that for which tries to fill me with fear. I keep my head high because I don't know who's watching or in who their inspiration lie. I keep my head high chasing my vision, for I'm ambitious and resilient and know if I stay the course, my spirit will follow. Yet it's hard living inside something so small and hollow without it affecting your mind and spirit tomorrow. Learning to accept the fact that loved ones will come and go during this time is another hard reality to swallow. But I must digest it with a smile or stress what I can't control and let reality digest me. I remember when I used to wake up wishing I never woke up because I enjoyed dreaming I was in another place. Spiritually, I was broken, but my thoughts and memories weren't, which was all I had to help me flip a long face. I keep my head high because I wasn't born to be conquered. I keep my head high because I believe in myself. I believe in my strengths. I believe in my goals. I'm determined. I'm strong. I'm focused. The experiences I dealt with while living in prison still tries to kill my spirit. Yet it's hard to tell because when they see me, I keep my head high even when my spirits are low. New troubles I face on a daily with no time to mourn, so it never will show. For mentally, I am too strong to let prison kill my dreams, spirit, or aspirations.
That's Kyle Gathers reading his poem, Resilient. He'll be graduating from the Benjamin Franklin Institute of Technology on Saturday after spending 10 years in prison, including two of those in solitary, during which he wrote some of those poems. What are you going to say tomorrow when you address your fellow classmates?
Basically, I'm going to let them know that their work isn't done, that they still inspire other kids that may not be theirs, that still look up to them. Yeah. So basically, it's on them to always exercise their best knowledge of self and exercise their best role modeling of themselves, because they don't know who's watching. And that was the case for me. I watched others who didn't know I was watching them. So basically, I want to let all the students know that they have a responsibility, and their responsibility is to change someone else's life, just as the faculty there, their parents, and all their supporters help get them to this point, that it's on them to role model the best of them so that they can help another child underneath them get to the point that they're at today.
Kyle, have you, and it sounds like you have, but I want to ask this question anyway. I mean, have you come to terms with the crimes that you committed? Do you think about it differently? Do you think about that world differently now?
Yes. I wrote extensively about, you know, all the pains that I've hurt on others And I experienced a pain myself before I was released. My brother was killed in Dorchester.
I'm so sorry.
Getting that experience so close to home, knowing that some of my influence while he was watching me as I grew older, and he grew older, that he followed in my footsteps, and it ultimately cost him more than it cost me. So now today, I want to use my influence in a positive way to change another kid's life before he follows in the footsteps of my prior ways.
Well, Kyle Gathers is a student at the Benjamin Franklin Institute of Technology. He'll be graduating and speaking to his fellow graduates tomorrow. Kyle, thank you, and again, congratulations.
Thank you.
And finally today, let's end our show with this. This week, the Boston Pops kicked off its 132nd season with the great singer Queen Latifah. So let's go out on a bit of her performance. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend and join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.